Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes.
Hi there, this is Richard Rothstein, and I am talking to Stephen Rothstein of Snyder Cone in Bethesda, Maryland. And we're going to be talking again a little bit about how his firm has handled recruiting this year and this crazy year, both before and after COVID. So, Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thanks for having me, Richard.
Absolutely. So if you could start out by telling me, I'd love to tell you, you know, how are you handling recruiting accountants pre-COVID?
Sure. So pre-COVID, there were multiple different avenues where we would recruit accountants. We worked with agencies. I mean, that's always been something that we always talk to them. Sometimes they can get some candidates that we're not getting. We would talk with different referral sources that we work with, lawyers, bankers, investment advisors, and always just ask them, hey, we're always looking for good people if you know someone. So we did a little bit of that. We did some work on LinkedIn with our HR person, and we had a handful of college campuses where we recruited entry-level accountants from. So all of those things were done in the pre-COVID world.
Okay, great. Yeah, and so that kind of answers what channels you were using to generate applicants too. You said some college staff, some referral sources. Were there any referral sources in particular that you found to be helpful?
Over time, I would say no, but because I think it just kind of depends. You know, does somebody know someone who's looking? Mm-hmm. So we were doing that, and we also did. Now that I think about it, some more. The other thing we did, but we didn't have great results, is offering an incentive for our employees that they knew someone. We did some of that over the years, but not as much as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that makes sense. So kind of the next step to that too is once you find the people is, you know, how you make competitive offers. So, you know, what were you doing to make sure that Snyder Cone was a competitive opportunity for people to consider?
Sure. So I think we're always looking at different salary surveys to make sure that we're aligned on salary fronts. But we also we feel strongly about our culture, and we think we have a good culture. We have, for years, we've had a flexible work environment where we allow some people to work remotely part of the time, work remotely all of the time. So we have always had that, and we think that's important. We've always had a number of people who work part-time, because some people with small children may not have the full-time 40 hours a week available. So that was a cultural thing. I think that the family-friendly environment that we had is people felt that when they would interview with us. Mm. So that, coupled with what we felt was a competitive starting salary with, you know, the traditional benefits, health insurance, 401k match, we felt that we were able to stay competitive. Although I think that over the last couple of years that there, and I think it continues on even today now, is there's a little bit of a supply and demand issue where there's just not enough accountants, and especially not enough entry level accountants to satisfy all the accounting firms.
Mm. So yeah, definitely. And you talk about that being some of the great stuff to be competitive. So once you bring people aboard, how long have you found that they would be staying with you?
Yeah. So one thing that I think is phenomenal about Snyder Cone is that the number of our partners where Snyder Cone has been the only firm or almost the only firm where these partners work. So from a growth perspective, that's a huge thing, and we are very proud of that. From a, you know, if I look at the data from my memory, Richard, I would say that, you know, we have, you know, if I were to look at our accountants, I would say that more than half of our accountants have been with us probably more than 3 or 4 years, and we have a number of people who have been with us more than 10 or 15 years. And this is, you know, it's a career for them. They're not necessarily all interested in becoming a partner, but I think we really do manage to retain people when they come on board. I think when I reflect back on people that have left SnyderCohn, some people have left because they've decided they don't want public anymore. You know, so that's one thing. And I think some people have decided that they don't want SnyderCohn when they move out of the area. I think given the pandemic, that dynamic has changed because we now have two people that have said they're going to move to a different place, but they want to stay with SnyderCohn. So we're really excited about that they want to be part of the SnyderCohn family.
That's great. Yeah. And I feel like that's a big trend right now is, you know, in positions like accounting, where, you know, it's really the skills that matter, you know, that the, you know, you can transfer things like, you know, you can send them documents, they can, you know, do their accounting wizardry and send it back to the firm or even directly to clients with some tools, you know, that it becomes more about where is the best talent and not just, you know, where's the best talent in my backyard?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, and you talked something about remote work, which is great because I feel like that is a big thing that people are talking about and doing more of now. But what is that? I think some of that, you touched on some of this about it being, you know, what are the big changes have been into post-COVID?
Sure. So I think my changes are, you know, we've had to rethink how we do training, how we make people feel like they're part of the organization. As a partner, I could just stop by someone's desk and chat with them and see how it's going. Mm. It's a little bit harder to you know, send an email to my staff accountant, Richard, and say, hey, Richard, I'd love to set up a time. Can we talk tomorrow? And then Richard is terrified that he's meeting with a partner tomorrow for just to check in. Why is that? Maybe he's going to be fired. And so I'm trying to think, and somebody had actually suggested, I haven't implemented it yet, but I'm really thinking I'm going to just like have, you know, Thursday morning coffee with Steve.
Oh.
But just like that, it's a known thing that I'm going to be putting things on the calendar. So don't be scared that this is happening. And I, when they said it, I was like, you know, I think it could be doable. You know, could I block out, you know, an hour and a half on Thursday mornings or whatever morning it was to just check in with, again, maybe it's over the course of a couple of weeks, specifically with some of the lower level people that I wouldn't normally work with, because I feel like as a partner, I work with more of the supervisors and managers, and I'm having discussions on a regular basis with them, and I'm checking in with them on how they're doing. And I think they have a history with the firm and they feel like they're part of the family, but how do we get that passed down to the people below? And that's one of the things that I'm trying to wrestle with here on what to do best. You know, what do I want to try? And what do I then want some of my other partners to try, Richard?
I think that's definitely a great thing as far as retention goes of, you know, pulling down from the top and kind of talking to those people that haven't been there as long, because, you know, definitely, like you said, there's an innate scary thing of that, of like, oh my gosh, if the big guy noticed something I did, it must be a bad thing. You know, and it's I think getting them comfortable with the higher ups in the firm is something that's definitely super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a business aspect as well.
Sure.
The people who are on the ground, who are, you know, doing these things, are the newest people, so they may have some new ideas that'd be great.
Exactly.
Pull up to the top quickly and not have to wait years for them to decide, and do I really want to be in this industry? Do I want to try and be partner? Do I want to hang out at manager? Like, you know, to figure all that out. So I think that's a really cool idea. I've heard that.
And what we have done, there's a couple of things we've done that I think are good from a retention standpoint, is that probably a couple months ago, we just started like having our staff accountants do like a weekly let's eat lunch remotely together.
Mm-hmm.
For a half hour. people just talk about what's going on. Again, at least that group of staff, of seniors, you know, different people that are of a like level can all have an opportunity to be talking to one another. And so we like that. And when we onboarded some new people in the pandemic, what we've done is each of them, as part of their training, is doing a 30-minute meet and greet with each of the partners and each of the managers. And so that's been kind of nice to just kind of, again, have a first introduction to them and spend some time. And so we're excited about that, but I'm sure there's even more stuff we have to do to improve our onboarding in the remote world.
Yeah, that's so cool. Have you, now that's some really cool stuff from retention. Have you been doing anything different from a recruiting aspect in post-COVID world?
You know, that's what we're trying to figure out, what we need to do a little differently, Richard. And, you know, we're still doing all of the other things that I mentioned previously with, you know, recruiters and LinkedIn, but we're trying to say, how can we do some of this stuff on LinkedIn better? How can we, you know, that's, I think, where we're going, and we're hoping that we're going to get to a better place where we're getting more qualified candidates that we're excited about from this.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, hey, so what do you expect the recruiting situation to look like, you know, a year from now? Do you think it'll quiet it down and feel a lot like it did before? Do you think these COVID changes are, like, embedded, or do you think it's going to look like something totally different?
I think it's going to look I don't think it's going to look totally different, but I think it's going to look across between where we were pre-COVID and in where we are now, and it's going to be like a blend. And I think we're going to, you know, we've got to learn to pivot on the changes. And again, I think some of it's a supply and demand issue. And I think that right now there still are a lot of accountants out there, which is why I think it's going to look more similar rather than less similar. Mm-hmm. But there's still going to be a remote element. I think that's, you know, here to stay for the accounting profession. It may not be all remote, but I think there now is a much greater acceptance of remote work, you know, even 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we're going to end up.
Cool. And finally, is there any advice you have for other firms that are looking to hire right now?
You know, I think you've just got to try everything, and I think that's been what I'm experiencing, and I think you never know where that next person is going to come from, and you know, and that's why we're pushing to hire more entry level staff accountants if we can find them, because we feel like, let's get people in on the ground we're running. And, you know, just like myself and lots of my other partners, hopefully it's going to stick and they're going to love the profession and be my next partners.
Sounds great. Awesome. Well, Steve, thank you so much for chatting with us today. It's been truly enlightening what you guys are doing, and it sounds like you're really doing some great stuff. So thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.